In our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew chapter 25, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1035, beginning with verse 14, we'll read responsively through verse 30, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and let's stand for this reading of God's Word. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter in into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And let's finish together, please. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let's pray. And Father, you're so good to give us this evening hour together. We pray for thy help, for thy Spirit's presence, for thy power in this service. May our hearts and minds be prepared for the preaching of thy word. Prepare our preacher for delivering it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject that is life that reproduces. I do not know what the criterion is by which you decide to listen to a sermon, but I would recommend tonight that you use whatever criterion you use, but that you listen to what I'm going to say, a Bible principle. It is life that reproduces. I'm launching this sermon from the one this morning when I talked about the fact that we ought to be thinking on good thoughts all the time, and how that thinking on good thoughts brings forth other good thoughts. And thinking on good thoughts becomes impregnated, and other thoughts are born from the thinker, not from the blank mind, from the idle mind, but from the thinking mind. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject that is life that reproduces. I want you to follow me, and if you would, hang on every word. That's why I'm up here, is that you may hear. If all you do is go to church on Sunday because you're supposed to go to church, you may as well go to Mass. That's what they do. They don't go to get anything. They go because you're supposed to go. But when the preacher, we go because the preaching of the truth of God, And because we do, everybody in the building ought to hear everything the preacher says. Father, bless, I pray, the next few minutes. Please give me a mind that's clear and a heart that's warm as I speak, and give me an attentive audience. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, I'm launching this sermon from at least one point of this sermon will be taken from the sermon this morning. Now, I can't fan, so no need for you to fan. It's as hot up here as it is out there, so I want you to follow me now. And you want to, most folks grew up in churches, didn't have air conditioning at all, so why don't we just sit still and listen to the sermon? I said this morning that thinking good thoughts brings forth new thoughts. Thinking good thoughts is life. And life reproduces life. God gives new thoughts to those who are already thinking. I said this morning, that God does not give thoughts to those who come with an empty mind and say, "Dear God, put thoughts in my mind." God does not do that. The truth is, you won't have an empty mind very long, because the devil will invade your mind with bad thoughts unless your mind is already occupied with good thoughts. I said this morning, you're not going to crack up because you think too many good thoughts. You're not going to do that. You're not going to have a nervous breakdown because you think too many good thoughts. Oh, thinking all the time. Yeah, so are you thinking all the time. And you may as well think good thoughts, because if you don't think good thoughts, you're going to think bad thoughts. See, God jumps on a moving wagon. God invests in a moving program. And God gives new thoughts to the thinking man. You want new thoughts? Then you think on good thoughts. Think on the things that are good. Now we leave that, and now I want to say that thinking brings new thoughts. I want to take the same idea and theme and cover several other subjects. Just as thinking brings new thoughts, thinking good thoughts brings new thoughts. And thinking good is life, and life reproduces itself. See, you will never have any profounder thoughts until you have some profound thoughts. You'll never have any profoundest thoughts until you have some profounder thoughts. You'll never have any great thoughts until you've had some good thoughts. You'll never have some greater thoughts than you've had great thoughts. You'll never have greatest thoughts until you've had greater thoughts. Because God comes to a fellow who's thinking and says, "I want to give him." Why should God give thoughts to a fellow who's got a lazy brain? Why should God give thoughts to a fellow who won't think about them? Or a fellow whose mind is not exercised to think about them? Now, secondly, obeying orders brings new orders. Obeying orders brings new orders. God does not give His orders to those who are doing nothing. A blank mind does not bring new thoughts, and an inactive, passive life does not bring new orders from the commanding general. When God wanted somebody to be a general and defeat the armies of the Midianites, He didn't go to somebody who's praying for God's will. I tell you this, nothing is overrated as praying for God's will. God reveals His will to those who are busy doing His will. If you'd spend as much time doing His will as praying for His will, then God would give you His will. There's nothing, especially in colleges, there's nothing quite as overrated. There's this thing of, "Oh, I'm going to take 2 weeks off and pray for God's will." Take 2 weeks on and do God's will. God reveals new orders to those who are obeying the old orders. And God wanted somebody to lead the Israelites against the Midianites in the great battle. God chose Gideon. He was already doing something. He was doing what his orders were. He was doing what it was his job to do. And God came to a fellow that already was obeying the past orders and gave him new orders. When God led the Israelites out of bondage, He didn't come to a fellow who was doing nothing. He came to a fellow who was doing already what God had said to do. When God came to a fellow chose a fellow with whom to defeat Goliath, He came to a fellow who was already taking care of the sheep and doing the thing that God had told him to do. You see, there is life
in obedience. And life reproduces life. There is no life in stagnation. There is no life in a stagnant mind. So a stagnant mind will not produce a new idea. There is no life in a stagnant life. So a stagnant life will not produce new orders. Just as a thinking mind produces new thoughts, and God gives new thoughts to those who are thinking of the old thoughts, God gives new orders to those who are obeying the old orders. Let me illustrate. I know a man, and I love him. He said, I'm seeking the will of God for my life, so I'm going to take a sabbatical year, whatever that is. I'm going to take a year, and I'm going to go out in the woods somewhere and find the will of God for my life. Now, after the year, he called me up and said, could I have an appointment with you? I said, why? He said, I want you to advise me about the will of God for my life. You see, he did not find the will of God for his life by taking a sabbatical year, and neither will you. You'll find the will of God for your life by doing the will of God that's already been revealed. Because doing the will of God in obedience is life, and life reproduces life. You'll find the will of God by doing the will of God. You'll get new orders by obeying the old orders. In the general orders in the army, those who walk guard remember this, said to one of the general orders was to continue at the last command until I hear from headquarters. I think I've told you about this fellow who was in our outfit, and this one of the orders was continue at the last command until I hear from headquarters. What he's saying was, obey the last order till you get another order. And we had a fellow in our outfit. He didn't like Army anyway. His name was Jack Hiles. And we had another fellow in our outfit that didn't like the Army either. And so one day, the sergeant was out doing, we were doing close order drill. And he said, forward, march. And of course, I'll give you a little close order drill here. A forward march is like this. Up, two, three, four, up, and then the rear, march. And that's the rear march. And column left, march. And column left is like that. And the column right goes too far from the microphone, so you can't do a column right. And column right, march. And the column right like that. Company, home. Raid, rest, and so forth. And so we're doing it, and the sergeant said, forward, march. And the fellow started marching. And somebody came up and got the sergeant engaged in a conversation. And the sergeant forgot he had told this fellow to forward march. And the fellow just kept marching. He marched right out of the company headquarters. He marched right out of the army camp and took off for town. And he just kept on going. The sergeant never gave him any more orders. He was obeying orders. And they took that fellow and court-martialed him, and he was declared innocent because he was obeying the last order. That's the way I got my discharge. Now, the truth is, Brother Colson, you in the Army, stand right here. Not there, please, sir. And I'll face this way. All right. Column right. March. Ah, you didn't do that right. You can't call them right till you're forward march, dummy. I mean, Johnny. I know it. So, you can't, see, I can't call them right because I say forward march. Forward march. Company, halt. Backward march. Company, halt. Forward march. Call them right, march. Thank you. Now, you see, no forward march, no column right march. You can't get the second command till you get the first command. And so, I'm saying that obeying the orders brings new orders. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I haven't had any original orders. Oh, yes, you have. You've got a Bible full of them right here. Now, you got enough to keep you busy the rest of your life. You never get any more. So, well, Brother Hiles, Where do I go? Well, just go anywhere. He didn't say where to go. Just get busy doing what he said, do it. Do it where you are. When you get through there, go next door. You get through there, go next door. You get through there, go next door. Get through that town, go down to the next town, and just keep on marching till God gives you new orders. But obedience is life, and life reproduces itself in your new orders. Become, impregnated and bring forth newer orders, and obeying those orders become impregnated and bring forth newer orders, and you will not get the second order till you get the first. You'll not get the third till you obey the second. You'll not get the fourth till you obey the third. I'm simply saying that just as thinking good thoughts bring forth new thoughts, and because thinking good thoughts is life and life reproduces itself, obeying and obedience and obeying orders brings new orders because obedience is life and life reproduces itself. Let me illustrate. There's a misinterpretation of Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that you go somewhere and wait on the Lord and just sit there and do nothing. And if you'll sit there and do nothing, then God will renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not weary. You'll walk and not faint. No. All of those words are in the derivative. They that wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait will run and run and run and run and run. And the waiting and the running are together and not separated. God is not saying go out in the woods somewhere and sit out there and do nothing for 6 months and find out what God wants you to do. God is saying run, and while you're running, you wait on God for your next orders. You wait and wait and wait and wait and run 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 and wait. Thirdly, not only does thinking good thoughts bring forth new thoughts because thinking good thoughts is life and life reproduces itself and brings forth more life, not only does obeying orders bring forth new orders because obedience is life and life reproduces itself and brings forth more life, but using the power that you have brings forth more power. Bible says everything reproduces after its kind. Power in a life is life. And life reproduces life. To the fellow who has no power and begs for power and keeps on begging. For example, I know college students that want right now what Dwight Moody had. It's not available to you right now in college. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose a fellow is okay, I'll use one illustration. Years ago, I began pastoring a little church in East Texas. Wasn't long till a few folks got to hearing about our little church that started growing as the talk of the whole county. And I got invitations to preach. I was in a little town, a little city called Marshall, Texas. Wasn't long till I got an invitation to go to Jefferson, Texas, 20 miles from Marshall. Wasn't long, got an invitation to go to Wascom, Texas, 17 miles from Marshall. Wasn't long till I got an invitation to go to Harleton, Texas, about 15 miles from Marshall. Wasn't long till I got an invitation to go to Gilmer, Texas, about 35 miles from Marshall. Wasn't long till I got an invitation to go to Linden, Texas, about 35, 40 miles from Marshall. And so I got where every night I'd drive somewhere and preach and drive back during the night. Now, I had a little car, a little Plymouth car. I guess, let's suppose that car, the gasoline tank, would have held 15 gallons. So I drove up to the service station and said, fill it up. That's all I needed. I didn't drive over 50 miles a night one way. 100 miles round trip was a big. So I said, fill it up. Then the day came and I got a little better known. And I got to traveling all over Texas. I drive 360 miles to Corpus Christi, Texas, and preach. I drive 250 miles to Houston, Texas, to preach. I drive 350 miles to Amarillo, Texas, to preach. Now, that little car wouldn't do it. I got me a larger car. Now, that car had a gasoline tank, had about 20 gallons. And so when I said, fill her up, I got more fuel than I got in the little car when I just drove around Marshall within 50 miles. Then the day came and I got known all over the South. In those days I didn't fly any. Flying was not too popular in those days and hadn't gotten used to it. So I got me a 98 Oldsmobile. I'd drive to Albuquerque, New Mexico and preach. I'd drive to Birmingham, Alabama to preach. I'd drive to Atlanta, Georgia to preach. I'd drive to Little Rock, Arkansas to preach. I'd drive to Memphis, Tennessee to preach. I'd drive to El Paso, Texas to preach. I'd drive to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma to preach. I'd drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma to preach. I'd drive to Fort Smith, Arkansas to preach. And I got me a, are you listening? I got me a 98 Olds and had about a 30-gallon tank. And so I drove up and I said, fill it up. Now when I said fill it up in East Texas driving 50 miles a night one way, I said 15 gallons. I said fill it up when I cover all of Texas, that meant 20 gallons. When I said fill it up the 98 Olds, that meant about 30 gallons. And now then I preach all over the world. And I fly big jet planes. When I pull one of those big old 747 planes up to the Shell station and say fill it up, that's 50 gallons or more. I think more. Now, I'm simply saying, you don't need while you're in college a jet plane. That's why David said I should be anointed with fresh oil. There's not one anointing of God, and that's all. For every task, God gives you a new fullness. The Bible says, but be ye not drunk with wine where is excess, but be ye filled. And that means, but be ye being filled. Be ye being and being and being and being and being and being filled. Be ye filled when you have a 15-gallon tank. Be ye filled when you have a 20-gallon tank. Be ye filled when you have a 25-gallon tank. Be ye filled when you have a 30-gallon. But if you're not gonna serve God, will you drive the Volkswagen? God will never put you on a jet plane. You folks sitting around waiting for the jet plane to take off, you won't get on the plane because God only gives power to those who use the power they have now. You don't need tonight, you students don't need tonight what Lee Robertson needs. You don't need what Tom Malone, I want to call you Tom Malone all day long, Paul Levine. You don't need what Paul Levine needs. You don't need what Tom Malone needs. You don't need what Jack Hiles needs. You need what a student in Hiles Anderson College needs. And someday, if you use the power you have now and you're filled for the service you have now, God will give you a larger capacity. He'll give you a bigger opportunity. But God will not let you someday cover the world until you cover East Texas. And if I had not used the power that God gave me as a kid preacher in East Texas to drive 50 miles, I would never have driven 300 miles. And if I hadn't have used that power to drive 300 miles, I'd never have driven 700, 800, 900 miles to Atlanta, Georgia, Birmingham, Alabama, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Phoenix, Arizona, and so forth. And if I hadn't have done that, I'd not be going tomorrow morning out in the New England place to preach tomorrow morning. And last week up in northern New York State in the Adirondacks, I'd not be doing that. I'm simply saying, do you want more thoughts than think the thoughts you have now that are good? And thoughts, good thinking, is life, and life brings forth more life and reproduces itself. Do you want new orders from God? You want God to tell you what to do? Then you get busy doing the orders that God said do last, because obedience is life and life reproduces life. And obeying orders brings forth new orders. You want more power? Use the power you've got now. Use what you got now. If you got a bicycle, ride it for Jesus. If you got a kiddie car, ride it for Jesus. If you got a Volkswagen, ride it for Jesus. If you got a Chevrolet, ride it for Jesus. If you got a Ford, trade it on a Chevrolet. That's about a three-letter illustration. I'll get three letters about that one. If you got an Oldsmobile, drive it for Jesus. If you got a Piper Cub, fly it for Jesus. If you've got a small Learjet, fly it for Jesus. If you've got a 720 jet, fly it for Jesus. If you've got a 747, fly it for Jesus. God comes along and says, you want some new thoughts? Use the ones you've got now, and they'll reproduce themselves. You want some new orders? Obey the ones you know now, and they'll reproduce themselves. You want more power? Use the power you've got now. It'll reproduce itself. Then not only is there life in thinking good thoughts, reproductive power and obedience and reproductive power and using the power of God you have now, but there's also reproductive power in working that brings forth a new work. Illustration. Where's Larry Bullard? Sick. Larry Bullard is doing more to influence servicemen in America than any man in America, bar none. You see, you look back here and see these hound dogs back here. These fellows that couldn't pass the paratroop physical. They got in the Navy because they couldn't get in the armed forces. And you say Brother Buller's doing a great work, but that isn't all he's doing. That work back there has been emulated and copied all over this world. Tonight, there are literally thousands of servicemen who were sitting in church, in somebody's church, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them got saved this morning because of the influence of Larry Bullard. You know how Larry Bullard did it? One day he said, I want to influence America. I want to be sure that I can influence America and have a great serviceman's work. No, he didn't. Larry Bullard one day went up there to go soul winning at Great Lakes, and he said, great guns. He said, those guys need help. And Larry Bullard fell in love with those sailors up there. And he said, they need Jesus. He was doing the work that God gave him to do. He didn't think about becoming famous and well known. And he would never have done it unless he had done the little work God gave him to do. And you work, and work is life, and life reproduces life, and work reproduces work. And when he did the little work, God gave a bigger work, and he did the bigger work, and God gave a bigger work, and he did a bigger work, and God gave a bigger work, because work is life. Sluggard, being a sluggard is not life. Laziness is not life. Just like a blank mind, an idle body, they're not life. Work is life. Thinking is life. Obedience is life. Using the power of God is life. I had a man tell me last week. He said, I do not know of a man alive who's doing more for the bus ministries in America than Ray Young. What he said? Ray Young didn't one day sit down and say, dear God, soon as you give me a big work and a big bus ministry, I'll do it. No, he didn't do that. Back down to years ago, he got a bus route. And he got a burden for people who needed help and a burden for the souls of poor people and ghetto-bound people. And he said, I'll reach them. And he gave his best. What? To fill up that bus. That work became impregnated and brought forth a bigger work. And then he did the bigger work, and that bigger work became impregnated and brought forth a bigger work. Until now, all these thousands, how many came this morning on your buses? 7,300 people came this morning on the buses overseen by Brother Ray Young. Well, I can recall when he first came to college. Remember one day he called me out, wanted to talk to me, and I said to myself, that fellow won't make it first base. But he won't even hit the ball. What did he do? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, dear God, I'm going to stay here and pray till you give me a ministry that has 7,000. No, he didn't do that. Oh, you future Billy Sundays, may you soon drop dead. Fellow came to me the other night and said, little fellow, he said, will you come preach for me when I have the biggest church in the world? I said, how many you got now? He said, 13. What do you better do is try to have the biggest church in this area first. And then he ought to have the biggest church in his town. And then his region, then his state. I'm simply saying that God reproduces life. By life! A lazy mind is not life, it's death. A thinking mind is life and brings forth more thoughts. A stagnant body, a sluggard's body, is not life, it's death! But work is life. Obedience is life. Working is life. I could go on and on. Little gal in this room tonight, I guess she's here. Little Kentucky gal. Hay between her toes. Accent that needed an interpreter when she came up north. Came to my office one day and she said, Bud Jack, you think I could be a soul winner? I lied to her and said, yeah. Bud Jack, I want to be a soul winner. Little old hillbilly kind of a gal. No more potential than those that just said amen. She said, I'm going to be a soul winner. Well, that little gal got out here and she went knocking on doors and she became a soul winner. One day she came to me and said, Brother Jack, you reckon God could help me teach others to be soul winners? I lied and said, yeah, I think so. She started bringing folks down this aisle by the dozens. And she said, Brother Jack, how could I get some ladies and teach them to be soul winners? I said, go right ahead. Didn't believe she could, but she did. One day she came in, Brother Jack! Reckon I can start a club for ladies? Soul winning club? I lied and said, yeah, I guess you could. What should I call it? I said, I'll call it the Foster Club. That's a Greek word for light bearers. Okay, start Foster Club. She started Foster Club. One day she came to me and she said, Brother Jack! Somebody wrote me a letter. She showed me a letter. Said, they want me to come to their town and start a foster club. You reckon I can go to some strange church and start a foster club? I lied and said, I guess so. She went to that church. She started a foster club. Turned the church upside down. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, you'd have a hard time finding a city or an area of any size in this nation without a ladies' foster club. Why? I tell you why. Because Faye Dodson one day said, I want to influence the world. No, she didn't. What do you say an amen for?
You don't influence worlds till you influence neighborhoods. You don't influence worlds till you influence Sunday school classes. You don't influence worlds till you influence your own little settlement somewhere, and God comes along and you say, I'm going to work. And God says, okay, I'll give more work. And you do that, and God says, I'll give more work. And do that, and I'll give more work.
I mentioned a while ago Elmer Fernandez, born in Cuba, personal friend of Castro. Born in Cuba, slavery. Doesn't know where his family is much. Ended up somehow in Howells Anderson College. Decided he had a burden to try to win a few of his own Spanish-speaking people to Christ.
He didn't say, I know what I'll do. I'll become the most powerful influence in the Spanish-speaking language for fun. He didn't say that.
He said, I got a burden. I'm going to go over and start knocking on doors, and I'm going to try to win those muchachas, these muchachos to Jesus. One day I went to him and said, Elmer, how'd you like to be on the staff? He'd like to drop it over. I said, I'd like for you to pastor the Spanish people here in the church. In his sweet and humble way, he took the job. And now then, if the Spanish ministry of our church were an organized church of its own, it would be the third largest church in the state of Indiana of any kind. Why? Because it is life that reproduces. If you want a big work, then you have a medium work. If you want a medium work, you have a fairly good size work. You want a fairly good size work, you have a little work, but work it!
I could take anybody on this platform and use them for an illustration tonight. I'm saying it is life that reproduces. Working is life, and life reproduces. Fellow said the other night that they were having question and answer session. Fellow stood up at a pastor's meeting. Had about 100 pastors there for a luncheon. And I nearly every Tuesday noon I do this. I stand up and they ask me questions. And I try to make them think I know the answers. And this fellow stood up and said, Dr. Hiles, I have no question to ask, but I have a favor to ask. He said, I've been without a work for 2 years. I'm a preacher. Been without a work for 2 years now. He said, I'm in between works right now. Could you help me find work? I said, how about the county jail? How about the rest home? Well, he said, I had in mind a pastorate. He said, I'm between works. And I shouldn't have said this, but I said it. I'm glad I said it. And I'm going to have to ask forgiveness for saying it.
But I'm glad I said it, and I'm glad I had to ask forgiveness, but I said it. He said, I'm in between works right now, and I said, I hope you stay there for a long time. He's sitting around doing nothing! Doing nothing with the world going to hell. Get you some tracts and get on a street corner and pass them out. Go out to the airport and start preaching. Go out to the tavern, pass out tracts and witness those coming in and out of it. Go down to some nightclub, stand up and tell them how good Jesus is. What's Miller's first name? No, not that Miller, the other Miller. Tall fellow, went to our college, missionary volunteer. Marty Miller. Marty Miller was a member of the Central Baptist Church, Pomona, California. Ray Batem, I got up one night and preached on a adult bookstore. He said, I wish it all burned down! Marty Miller took him seriously. Burned one down. Burned it down. He shouldn't have done that. Burned it down. You know where Marty Miller got saved? One day I was down in, Marty's going to the mission field soon. I was one that's down in South, Greenville, South Carolina, and met a sailor and witnessed to him and won him to Christ. Big, tall, drink of water. I didn't know until Marty had been, I had known Marty for a year or two here at the college before I knew he was the same fella. He said, you won me to Christ in Greenville, South Carolina. I didn't remember that. I remembered winning a sailor, but didn't connect him to being Marty. But the pastor said, ought to burn! He burned one. And because he burned one, God gave him bigger buildings to burn. Boy, I just pray God the adult bookstore doesn't burn in Hammond tonight, or I'll be in jail tomorrow morning. I'll tell you for sure. Oh, let me tell you something. Somehow or other, the Church of Jesus Christ has got this thing all mixed up about what about growth and grace. If you want new ideas, new thoughts, deeper thoughts, you get them by thinking. If you want greater works, you get them by working. If you want more power, you get it by using what power you have now. If you want new orders from God, you get those new orders by obeying the old orders. And then, lastly, it is giving that brings more to give. It is giving that brings more to give. May I tell you a new thought I had? It's not new with everybody. It was new with me. I never read it anywhere. Never thought about it. Before I do, let me preach my silent sermon to you, which I do about every year or so here. Probably more recent than that this time. Here's my silent sermon, The Secret to the Christian Life. Here it is. And those two little gestures, you have the whole Christian life wrapped up in one and two little silent gestures. When you learn how to get things from God and you learn to give them away when you get them, you've learned what it means to be a good Christian. Now, the thought that I've had all these years is this. By the way, giving is life, and life reproduces itself. Just as work brings more work, and orders, obeying orders brings more orders. And using power you have brings more power, and thinking good thoughts brings forth more good thoughts. Two reasons you don't get. First reason is, I've known it for years. Second reason, didn't think about it till last night. First reason is, you don't get because you don't give first. If you don't give first, you don't get. You've got to plant. Giving brings more to give. Secondly, here's the thought. Some of you give first and don't get because you don't plan to give what you get. Did you hear me? You give so you can get to consume it upon your own lust and appetites. But that doesn't get. I used to sit when I was a kid in our house, and I'd see my mama take a piece of cardboard, cut it out, slide it inside of her shoe, and cut it a little more so it'd fit the shoe. And I used to see her walk out to church with a piece of cardboard in the bottom of her shoe. I'd see her and she came back home after church and the cardboard was wet and soppy and a hole in the cardboard. I used to see my little mama as she opened a box from Aunt Jimmy's house. Aunt Jimmy and her two daughters, Dorothy and Harvey Janelle, would always send their old clothes to us. I'd see my little mama as she'd dig in that box and try to find some dress that she could wear to church. And I can see her get the old sewing machine that had the little foot pedal and push the old sewing machine, hold that dress up, and it somehow just didn't look like it was made for mama. And I used to sit there and watch her when I was a little boy. And I'd hear her cry herself to sleep at night. And I'd say, someday, I'm going to have some money. And I didn't know what $1 million was. It just sounded good to me. I said, someday I'm going to make $1 million. And I'm going to put the best clothes I can on that body. And I'm going to put the finest shoes I can find on those feet. I used to sit there and dream of making $1 million. I made it. I've made millions of dollars. Millions and millions and millions of dollars have come into these hands. But it hasn't stuck. I feel so sorry for people that don't understand what it's all about.
Giving is life! Penury is death! Hoarding is death! Selfishness is death! Giving is life!
Life reproduces life. And once you give, God gives you more to give. And when you give that, God gives you more to give. You say, well, if I had $1 million, I'll tell you what, I'd give $900,000 to God. Well, man, go get it. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You don't give the tithe of the $150 a week you make now. God can't trust you to give when you make $300 a week. You think God's going to trust you to make $10,000 a week? God is looking for good investments. God has a heaven full of great thoughts. But God only sends those thoughts to those who are busy thinking good thoughts now. God has a heaven full of good orders, commands. But God only sends those commands to those who are obeying the last commands. God has a heaven full of power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But God only sends that power to those who are using the power that they have now. God has great works in heaven, a heaven full of great works and opportunities. But God only gives those opportunities and those great works to those who are working now. And God has millions to give and money and silver and gold and rubies and diamonds and wealth. I could dig up a few streets in heaven and take care of billions. You don't get it. And the reason you don't get it is because giving brings more to give. Somebody said, I wish I had to give like he does. Why don't you give like he did? I remember when Russell Anderson heard me preach the first time, his net worth was $3,000. $3,000. I was standing right back there one night. I think it was a Friday night, June 5th, 1964. This building was half of the building was just finished, just a few weeks old. Oh, it was beautiful. We'd worked so hard to put it up. The wall was here. An old school building the church owned and used for a youth center was right up here. And that night, that building caught on fire. And the building over here next to this one caught on fire. And both those buildings burned. And they were both connected to this brand new auditorium that was just a few weeks old. We stood out there in the front and cried as a church family. and watched our buildings go up in smoke. And this building here, I saw firemen come inside this building and take big old axes and chop holes in that wall back there. We just finished it. We worked for 2 or 3 years to get the money, draw the plans, and build a building. There was chopping holes back there. I saw water. The firemen sprayed 2 or 3 inches deep on the brand new carpet. And I walked right back there. And I said, "Dear God," and I put my hand on the side of the building. Police chief came and said, "Reverend, don't get that close to the building." I said, "Leave me alone. I'm not police chief, fire chief." And I said, "God, give me a sign you love me. Give me a sign you're pleased with me." When I got home, there was a letter. I never knew the fellow. His name was Russell Anderson. He said, "Dear Dr. Hiles," he said, "the Holy Spirit inspired me to send you a check. He told me to send you this money." It was a $500 check to me, personally. He didn't have a lot of money then, but he gave what he had, and God gave him more. And he gave what he had, and God gave him more. And he gave what he had, and God gave him more. I didn't even know him. It was months after that before I knew who he was. I wonder how many millions of dollars Russell Anderson's given to this work here. I'm going to throw a guess out and say $5 to $6 million he's given to this work here. All started when he had $3,000. Would it be good if God could entrust you with a few million? God can entrust you with a few hundred. You won't even open your piggy bank. I'm saying giving is life. And life reproduces life. Working is life. And life reproduces life. Thinking good thoughts is life. And life reproduces life. Power of God is life. And life reproduces life. Obedience is life. And life reproduces life. And so tonight, if you would have deep thoughts about the Word of God, and if God would entrust great truths from His Word to you, you think of the truths that you already know. If tonight you would want to know the will of God step by step through your life, you busy yourself now with obeying the orders that God's already given you. If you'd like to have more power with God, you beg God to give you the power you have now. And while you're begging God, you wait and run and wait and run and wait and run and wait and run. And if you want a greater work than you're doing now, you busy yourself with doing the work that you're doing now. And if you want more to give, you give. You've heard tonight one of the great secrets of the Christian life. Things that fundamental people don't even know about. All over this nation, there are fundamental people sitting and doing nothing, waiting for God to give them orders to do something, and they'll sit there and run! God won't give them orders. Why should He? They're not doing what He said before. Why should He give some new ones? So whatever God has given you, do it with all your heart. Whatever God has given you, give it with all your heart. What work God's assigned to you, work with all your heart. What commands God has given you, obey them with all your heart. What truths God has given you, think on them with all your mind. For life reproduces life. And thinking good thoughts is life. And obedience is life. And the power of God is life. And work is life. And giving is life. Our Heavenly Father. Enough truth's been preached behind this pulpit today to build great churches. Build great Sunday school classes. Win millions of souls. I pray you'd help us to get the idea. Our heads are bowed.